You doing, young lady? You're looking great. Awesome, 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 awesome. DC had no idea what I was going to preach on today. And so that's been pretty cool. We're preaching on reckless love. Again, it's just awesome. Here we go. Get up there. Stop that one. Stop that one. Come on, buddy. Let's do it. We can do it. Let's see here. We'll go over here. I actually wanted to do David and Goliath today, and it actually had been working on David and Goliath for a couple of days. And as I was working on David and Goliath, the Lord just kept speaking to me and telling me that I needed to do some pre-work before we start talking about David and Goliath. So we're going to do a little pre-work. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Romans chapter 15. This actually is only just, I'm just going to read this. I may talk about it a little bit. I'm not sure. Last night it was kind of late and I just love the way God does that. You know, how he works out things for us. Amen. God is so awesome all the time. God is awesome. You know, I want to read the first four verses. Y'all were looking good. Everybody tell y'all looking good today. Amen. That was some awesome praise and worship. I like that song, Never End, A Reckless Love. Amen. You know, before I read, I was going to tell you, I was thinking about D.C. last night. D.C., of course, he was doing good today, but D.C. was always good in school. Well, he was better in school than he thought he was, because he would do stuff, and then he would just kind of, he was cutting up a lot. I know y'all find that hard to believe. He weren't serious about it like I was. Actually, like the chip fell off the block and kept on chipping. Amen. But one day he was in art class. He's a little bitty fella in art class. And the teacher asked him to express herself on this piece of paper. She was just trying to see what they were thinking. And so DC, who was the intelligent kid, he went to his teacher and gave her a blank piece of paper. And she said, "What is this?" And DC said, "It's a drawing of a cow eating grass." And she said, "Where's the grass?" She said, "The cow ate it." She said, "And where's the cow?" She said, "He left because there's no more grass." So he got the most he was smart. Amen. Romans chapter 15. Stand for the reading of the word. I didn't realize DC was going to do reckless love until yesterday, but I was working on David and Goliath, and I just kept, there was just something about it, I just couldn't seem to, it wouldn't click, and then if it doesn't click, I'm not going to preach it, and so I'm trying to work on it, as I'm trying to work on it, the Lord begins to talk to me about ups and downs in our life. How many's got any ups and downs in your life? Amen. You know, and we can't help it, we might have ups in part of our life and downs in other parts of our life, and vice versa. You know, I think about one of my, I thought about an age old joke. How do you get down off an elephant? You don't. You get down off a duck. Amen. Ooh, okay. All right, y'all can do that again. That was worth another one. Ugh. Amen. But as I'm going along, and as I was thinking about this thing, I know that we've all got things in our life that can bring us down. Amen. And so I want to read this scripture. And then I'm going to shift gears. Okay, this is just a preliminary scripture to get us going, because it kind of encompasses the whole thing that's getting ready to happen over the next few weeks. Amen? So Romans 15, chapter 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We could stop right there and wow, that would be that's just it. Yeah. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification, or for him to grow. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Here it is. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well and on the throne, God. And I know, Lord, there's absolutely nothing, nothing, Lord, that you can't handle. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way, Lord. Father, we do not look to ourselves, God. Matter of fact, we're not even the audience today. You are the audience, God. Help us, Lord, send praises up to you and worship up to you as you're the audience of one before us, God. And let us realize, Lord, it's not about us, but it's about you. Lord, I thank you, God, that today is going to be a special day. Something special is going to happen in the name of Jesus. You're awesome. You're powerful. You never mess up, God. You always, the wrong time, you know exactly what we need, when we need it, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for it. Church said, amen. You can be seated. Amen. Now, as I was thinking about this, thinking about David and Goliath and thinking about, you know, fear and things of that nature, the Lord began to deal with me. And so I thought about seven downs that are able to lift you up. Think about that for a minute. Seven downs that are able to lift you up. And, of course, we read that scripture. How many this morning got the mighty army? And remember what it says. If you want to fly, matter of fact, if you want to be in mighty army, it's a daily text message. We're still putting it in the bulletin. But if you want to get that daily uplifting text message, it's usually given around 8 o'clock in the morning. But sometimes because of me dealing with Bethany and her chemo and all that stuff, I get kind of behind. And so it starts around 8 o'clock, and some of you might not get it till around 12 o'clock, but still, because it's in several groups. There's 850 people in it already, and you can be in it too. It's free of charge. Just give me your number, your cell number. It can't be a house number, your cell number, and you will get it free of charge. It's Mighty Army daily, once a day, text message. You don't even have to reply. Some people do. Most of the time I have around 10 people reply. Some even reply, and it winds up carrying on a conversation, but most of the time, they get it and that's it. But this morning, the Mighty Army says, matter of fact, the Mighty Army day before yesterday was, life is the train, not the station. Wow. Life is the train, not the station. Some of us want to have the comfort of the station, not realizing that we've got to experience the danger of the tracks to live. The obstacles, all the stuff that comes along. Today was, if you want to fly, you have to give up the stuff that weighs you down. Think about it. If you want to fly, you have to give up the stuff that weighs you down. Now again, here we go. Seven ups that will get you, or seven downs that'll get you up. Next week we're going to talk about seven ups, but unless we don't get through this today, we'll finish it next week. But there's seven downs that get you up. Now how many know that fear has really consumed us since we're in the age of terrorism? I mean, it's like everywhere you go now. I forgot how many they said 40-something policemen have lost their lives. It's only July. 40-something policemen have lost their lives in the line of duty in the United States since January. That's crazy. 40-something policemen, one died last night in Fort Myers, Florida. He died of injuries that he received as he was doing a traffic stop. And so you think about the terrorism that's going on in our land, and everywhere you look, there's some every day I hear about and see. I have Fox News send me headlines and WITN and Channel 9 send me headlines, and they'll talk about there was a mass shooting at a school, there was a shooting at a mall, there was a shooting at a workplace. It's almost every day. Fear has become something that we feed on all the time. The news dwells on this fear because when they keep feeding you fear, it's like a hook. And they can hook you in and they can keep you on the edge, but not only does it keep you on the edge for their benefit, but also that fear also keeps you from doing what God's called you to do. It wants you to stay in the station versus be in the train. It wants you to be weighted down so much that you cannot fly. So fear is a very, very bad thing. And in this day and time that we live, I've noticed that fear has become an epidemic. If we could get rid of fear, the cancer center the heart center and the mental center in Greenville would, it's proven. If they could get rid of fear, they would not shut down, but the heart center would clean out at least 50% if we could get rid of fear. The mental ward would get rid of 75% if we could get rid of fear. But this nation is consumed with fear. We're looking over our shoulders all the time. Used to, when I'd be in Walmart or somewhere and hear somebody go, "Watch out," I might not even pay attention. But now I do. One day I was walking through Walmart after Christmas and a guy had a gun on his side. And, you know, I do pay attention to those when I see them now. But it's legal for you to carry a gun if you got a permit. And so the guy's got a gun, but I reckon for Christmas he'd got a magazine that held a whole bunch of ammunition. And so the man's got a gun right here, and his magazine went up like this. And so I was thinking, why is a man in Walmart with a handgun with a magazine that looks like it would hold 30 bullets or more, 36? He said, why is this going on? So I started following him around the store. My wife calls. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm at Walmart. She says, are you shopping? I said, no, I'm investigating. I'm doing surveillance. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm following a guy with a gun. She said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? She says, where's your gun? I said, I don't have one. She says, again, have you lost your ever-loving mind? She says, you need to tell a manager or somebody about this. I said, I haven't seen a manager. I haven't seen anybody. When I see somebody, I'll tell him. But I don't want to lose sight of this man because he's got about 36 bullets in his magazine. And he looked like he wanted to be left alone. She said, well, how about you do me a favor and stay out of the way? I said, I'm not going to go do anything stupid. She says, I'm married to you, son. She said, matter of fact, it shouldn't be David C. Linton. It should be David S. Linton. Get out of there. So I saw somebody and I told him. And the guy, actually, he was showing it off because he got it for Christmas. Everything was fine. But again, you know, and like that time I walked out, I was coming out of the prison, me and Benny and we were coming out of the prison. And Stephen, as we're coming out of the prison, there somebody looked like had orange pants on, and they're sitting inside of the car with smoking a cigarette. All the inmates wear orange. I said, is there an inmate out there? Has he escaped and he stopped to smoke a cigarette? And I'm talking to Linda. I said, hold on just a minute, dear. She said, where are you going? I said, I think I found an escaped criminal. She said, here we go again. I walked over to the car. And I looked and I said, excuse me, and it was the nurse. She says, can I help you? I said, I just saw the orange pants. She said, orange? I said, well, I am colorblind. She says, that's obvious. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I thought you were an escaped criminal. And my wife said, if it had been, what would you have done? I said, I would have called for help. She said, not if he'd have got you first. I said, I didn't think that far ahead. I was just trying to take care of business because I don't want to live by. Amen. I refuse to have my life occupied by fear. Do you know that negatives in your brain, you've heard me say it before, a negative in your brain takes up 7 times more space than a positive in your brain. And so if a negative takes up 7 times more space in your brain than a positive, it takes at least 7+ positives to even equal out the negative. So if you're always speaking negative, remember, you're feeding yourself and feeding somebody else this humongous junk that they don't need to hear and you don't need to hear, because as you're spitting it out, it bounces back, it's in your head, and you're consumed by it too. The same way with fear, it weighs a whole lot more. And so here's this fear, it's in your body, it's in your brain, it causes you to have, look, your heart races, it causes high blood pressure, it causes your diabetes to go crazy, there's all kinds of things it does when you allow fear, and it is an epidemic in this age that we live in. You know, Jesus even warned about this. He said, in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. That's a twofold. Number one, it prevents their action. They will do things, but they're afraid because now fear has shut them down physically and mentally, but it also shuts them down emotionally, which in turn will cause your heart to get bad. It'll cause all kinds of emotions to go, and you will find yourself in a heart ward somewhere over fear. So now, you know, I was watching Fox this morning, just trying to get some headlines. I was just watching Charles Stanley, then I started watching a little bit of Fox and getting some headlines, and they were talking about something that is terrorizing the United States today. I said, if it's terrorizing the United States, I need to hear it because I'm doing the sermon on fear. I have a fear sitting in my lap working on it. Trump anxiety disorder. I spit out my oatmeal back in my bowl and on my pants. Had to change my pants. They said all these people crying and all these people having this emotional breakdown. And they said these people are suffering from Trump anxiety disorder. And they had to get counselors all over to go in schools and go into colleges and all over the place to help these people with their Trump anxiety disorder. I took my remote control and I said, is this real, real? This can't be real. It was. And I said, you know what? Again, you know what fear is? Fear is an anxiousness in your spirit, and it's got to do with a real or a perceived threat. Now, Trump anxiety disorder, we had a fair election. Now, what if the other team had won? I kind of believe that we wouldn't be seeing this. I don't understand what's going on here. I really don't. But I see all this stuff happening around us and think, we got enough to be afraid of and be anxious over without having Trump anxiety disorder. Amen. And so I know I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to say some of the stupidest things we have disorders over. Amen. So here we go. I love this. I was looking at this and I said, Lord, I need something for fear. I need something to explain fear in an acrostic. And I wanted to do it, and I said, but I want it to be something different because everybody knows, fear, false evidence appearing real, and we see stuff like that. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me another one, so I wrote it down, and it's pretty cool. And that was, look, you take fear and put the words beside it, and this describes fear. Watch this. Fervently erodes all rest. Fear fervently erodes all rest. You could be having a good time at work. You can have a good time in days. You're sitting back and you're watching your favorite show, or you're having time with your kids, or you're out riding your bike, or you're doing something that you're enjoying doing and you're having a great day at it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get a phone call, or you happen to see something, or somebody happens to tell you something, or you get a text. And all of a sudden, everything changes just like that. Anybody ever had that happen? Just like that. And you feel that anxiousness. Guess what? Fear fervently erodes all rest. Because once it takes over, you can forget about resting. Your spirit no longer is resting, but instead it's restless. Restless. So fervently erodes all rest, gets you restless. Fear and faith, there's many words for fear and there's many words for faith in the New Testament and Old Testament, but the two words that really strike hard to me is faith. In one word for faith in the Bible is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And the word for fear is, and all you have to do to make a word a negative is just put an A in front of it, right? So apistis is fear. Apistis, A-P-I-S-T-I-S. Faith is pistis and fear is apistis, which means they're the same word but used in a different way. One has the A in front of it. Means one means that it's plenty. One means that it's all gone. So fear actually means the absence of faith. One more time. If you take pistis and apistis, pistis means faith. If you have apistis, it means an absent. Fear is an absence of faith. And when we have an absence of faith, our rest erodes so fast. It's almost amazing. I mean, it is amazing. You know, Bethany, because when she got cancer and I was trying to tell her, you know, and things were getting rough, and I said, you know, girl, we're going to have to start standing on by your stripes, we're healed. And so I ordered two of them. This is not actually the cat of nine tails like they used on Jesus, because the one they used on Jesus would have been about 6 foot long, and it would have been laced with glass and rock and metal pieces, and it would be wrapped around his body and then yanked back and would actually tear the flesh off of his body. But this is Amazon's version of a cat of nine tails, you know, or it can be Bob Marley, or it can be an octopus. But here's the cat of nine tails. And I put this on. I got one in Bethany's room, and it's sitting right up to when she gets up in the morning. The first thing she sees is that cat of nine tails. And I said, I want you to say this every time you see that: by his stripes, I am healed. Because if you want to erode the fear versus the faith, you're going to have to feed it with something that really works. And the Word of God has always worked. The Word of God has never not worked. Woo. Amen. It still works. Amen. Even when you drop, look, see how good it worked. I started talking about faith and the cat of nine tails disappeared. It was right out of my hands. So look. Some of y'all in here, if you actually would think about it, you're seeing this right now, and you're thinking, you know what? I'm getting whipped with that thing every day. That thing's wrapping around me. It's tearing my flesh off every day. It's eating me up. It's tearing me up. I can't stand it. You know what? Fear, remember, fear is the absence of faith. And when faith is gone, fear overcomes. And when fear overcomes, the Bible says that fear has torment. It will beat you and beat you and beat you. And you know, there comes a time in your life where you just have to say, look, I'm tired of getting whipped. I'm tired of getting beat. I'm tired. When you get tired of it, remember, you can fight it all you want. But if I let Apistus rule, then I'm going to have to fight it. But if I let Pistis rule, then God fights it. How to let God fight it? I'll fight it through, watch this, through His Word. So now, remember, just like light and darkness, if this room was totally dark and I lit up a light, what would happen to the darkness? It would flee. If I turned out the lights, what would happen? The darkness would overcome. It's impossible for them to dwell in the same room. You've got a choice. Do you want to live by fear? Or do you want to live by faith? All this stuff that was written aforetime was there for us so that we can look back over and with patience and faith, we can know that everything's going to work out all right. So, you know, so watch this. If fear or the absence of faith, or just say that, just say absence of faith. Matter of fact, how many ever thought about fear being the absence of faith? That's a very powerful thought. Fear, the absence of faith. Can you imagine? One thing, I'm a scaredy cat. It's another thing, my fear is the absence of faith. Wow. So if fear is allowed to persist, it becomes depression. There's a lot of people that are depressed these days, and you're trying to find out why they're depressed. I get them in the office. I talk to them. I meet them everywhere, meet them places. And what I do is when I find somebody's depressed, what I'll do is a lot of times is they'll say, well, nothing's going right for me. Nothing's going right. Nothing's going right. Again, absence of faith brings on an onslaught of fear. So I'll take them and I'll say, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's write down. Let's make a list. They said, but nothing's going right for me. I said, okay, well, let's just make a list. And so we'll put it down there, and I'll put a list down there. And then I'll take another list, and I'll make another list. And the first list I'll put down there, I'll say, let's put down all the things that's going bad for you. And then they'll say something like, my job is just so bad. And so I'll say, okay, so your job is so, so bad. Why is it bad? Well, I got a mean boss. How many's ever had a mean boss? If he's in here, don't raise your hand. How many's ever had a problem working the shift? There's all kinds of things. And I'll go, you know what? I know that's bad. That's terrible. But let me ask you something. Is there anything good about your job? And they go, you know what? It supplies my needs. Okay. What else? Does it keep your family's food, clothed and fed? Yes. Does it keep a roof over your head? Yes. Does it take care of your bodily needs? Yes. And so here it is. You have a problem with your boss, man. But look at all the good stuff that's happening over here. And I try to get at least 7 positives to go with that 1 negative. And you know, before long, they'll go, you know what? Maybe my job ain't so bad after all. You know, I've had a bad job before, but it sure beat unemployment. Yeah, paycheck sure beats no paycheck. Amen. I asked somebody one time, told me, said, oh, I'll be getting a paycheck, but they're not paying me what I think I'm worth. I said, what do you think you're worth? And they told me, I said, oh, so you're going to be a comedian now too, huh? I said, well, try doing it with nothing. And he said, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. So there's a job. And I go, well, my family's driving me crazy. I got my son that's going crazy. I say, okay, what's she doing? And they tell me. I say, okay, now I want you to tell me, watch this, now I want you to tell me some good things about your son. And it's like, well, you know what? He's doing good at school. I don't have to go get him out of jail. He's always doing something good for his mom and dad and blah, blah, blah. And I go, so that bad boy over here that you're about to have a heart attack over, he's got all these good things going on. Well, you're right. Maybe I did jump the gun a little bit. And the biggest one I get is a husband saying, if you only had my wife. Or a wife saying, if you only had my husband. And I go, okay, tell me something bad about him. And they'll tell me something about it. I said, what's your biggest problem with him? Here it is. I said, now tell me some good stuff about him. And the good stuff always outweighs the bad. Always. So then they said, well, I'm still stuck. And I said, okay, now let's get the next sheet of paper. Write down things that you cannot handle, but God can. And then write on this sheet things that you can handle with God's help. And so they start writing it down. And as they write down stuff they cannot handle, but God can, they stick it right here. I said, I bet you've been trying to fix it. They said, yes. I said, that's why you're depressed. You're trying to fix what only God can. I think I didn't think about it that way. That's how we get over this side. This one says, you said you can do this with God's help. Are you asking God to help you? Well, I didn't think about it that way. And it's so amazing how the person that is so depressed coming in because they got all these problems, when they start looking, changing their perspective and seeing things a little different, things change. Because what you're doing is you do it with your friends. When you have friends, they're telling you they can't stand it anymore. You start talking to them just like I told you just then. Watch what happens. God gets a hold of them. Okay? So here we go. Here we go. I didn't want to get into all that, but I did, so praise God. So here we go. Many Christians, just talked about it, have more downs than ups in their mind. It's all in their mind. Have you ever been fussing with your spouse or fussing with a child and all of a sudden one of them apologized and you just kind of lost all that tension that's inside of you and lost all the anxiety inside of you and you just felt good about the person then? Have you ever done that? You know why? It's all got to do with, hey, your perspective. So watch this. Down in the mouth Christianity will never win anyone to the Lord. When I first got saved, and I was in the Church of God, and I was watching, and they'd have testimony service. And I guarantee in the testimony service, one would get up and go, y'all pray for me that I hold on till Jesus comes. That's a testimony. The devil's beat me up all day. I almost backslid 3 times last week, but praise God I drug myself in here tonight. Praise God. Down in the mouth, Christianity will never win a soul for God. So here we go. Here we go. We're getting. As a matter of fact, I think I'm just going to do maybe one point. We'll finish it up next week. How about that? Will it make y'all look a little more anxious? Okay, some of y'all looking anxious. You know, some of you were shouting. Look, some of you had started out shouting. Right-handed, glory, amen. Now you're going, glory, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Here we go. I'm playing with y'all. You know who I am. Here we go. How long has it been since you've been excited about being saved? Not a bunch of rules. Not if you mess up, you know, you're climbing the rung of the ladder. If you mess up, God's sitting there waiting to take your fingers off of it. Can't wait to see you fall. Can't wait to see you fail. No, that's not the kind of God we serve. So watch this. God has 7 downs that we might have ups. Y'all get ready. We're probably just maybe one, maybe two. And then that's going to be it for today. So now, 7 downs that we might have ups. If you're taking notes, please write these down because this is so awesome. We just talked about reckless love. You know, every time I think about it, all the things Jesus did, I like it. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no wall he won't tear down. There's, you know, I think about all the things he did. When I was doing wrong, he followed me and talked to me. When I was not where I was supposed to be, even as a Christian, he would stop and talk to me and say, do you think this is a good idea? Do you think this was a good way to go? Do you think we could do better than this next time? And he says, let me help you. I'll help you. So watch this. Watch this. Number one. I love that picture. Have you ever seen that in your heart? God reaching down to you. So watch this now. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. You say, well, that didn't sound too smart. That was a downer, all right. Thanks for the downer. All right. Let me just tell you something. The Bible says our own righteousness is filthy rags. Amen? Our own righteousness is filthy rags. And again, that word filthy rags there is talking about the rags that were on the gates when you walked into the city that the lepers had to wipe their sores on. That's the filthy rags. So watch this. Watch this now. He saw the depravity of the fallen people. He saw that death stalked us and plagued the earth. He saw that destiny awaits for the lost souls. He looked down and saw us in a bad predicament. Praise God. But he didn't stay and keep us down. Amen. So the Lord looked down. Number one, y'all say it. The Lord looked down. Y'all are sounding kind of weak there. The Lord looked down. All right. Number two, you can't look at one without the other. You can't look at the manger without looking at the cross. You can't look at the cross without looking at the manger. The Bible says in John 3, 31, 32, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what hath he seen and heard that he testifieth, that no man receiveth his testimony? Christ came, watch this. He came first to reveal God's love and God's purpose. He came to reaffirm God's laws and his precepts, and he came to redeem God's lost people. You know, let me tell you something. You cannot ever be more like God. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and somebody talked about how they've been made in the image of God, and I said, yes, you are. And they were going back and forth, And again, I think I might have even said this last week or week before, I'm not sure. But I told him, I said, you know, when you can be in the most awesome image of God is when you got a man and a wife like this. Not like this, like this. Because when a man and wife is like this, watch this. Here's the picture of God. A man's body by itself is kind of crazy. Can't do anything with it. A woman's body by itself is kind of crazy. You can't do anything with it. A woman is emotional. A man is logical. A man says, we can't do anything with the woman. A woman can't do anything with the man. But when you put the man and woman together, now you've got a team that's logical and emotional. And watch this. A man by himself cannot create. A woman by herself cannot create. God creates. God's got emotions. God is logical. So when a man and woman gets together, my wife truly completes me. Your wife completes you. Your husband completes you. Because now you can be more like God. Because not only have you got creative power or procreative power, but now both sides of the coin are together. It's a very powerful, powerful force. And that's why Satan fights it so hard. So watch this. Get ready. And again, I don't know why I'm going. I've done gone over left field, right field, all over today. And I hadn't even seen any squirrels. Amen. Get ready. We're going to stop right here. Do I see his nuts? Yeah. All right, I'll leave that one alone. Brother Billy said that, not me. Amen. Okay, get ready. Get ready. Y'all, DC, come on up here. You cannot be more like God than when you're revealing his love and his purpose. Every day to your life, every day of your life, you have a chance to reveal God's love to somebody and show them God's purpose. You can reaffirm God's laws by the way you act. And you can redeem lost people. God saw what we were doing. God saw us down. And so he came down to help us. Everybody please stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask a question. Every head bowed, every eye closed. When fear, apistis, takes over faith, pistis, it's called a faith drain. So fear is a faith drain. It causes you to lose your confidence in God. It causes you to lose your confidence in self. It causes you to lose confidence in your situation. It causes you to lose confidence in the chance of a healing. It causes you to lose the chance of the confidence and the chance that God's going to fix that problem in your life. A faith drain. Fear. If you're here right now, every eye closed, every head bowed. Again, this I just kind of went off in the left field, but there was a purpose behind this. I believe with all my heart. There's some people in here right now that's experienced some faith drain. Maybe more than one in their life. And it's tearing up their confidence and what God can do for them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to make an example of you. Just quickly, could you put your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I've experienced some faith drains lately. I've had some faith drains come against me pretty hard. They've hit me very, very hard. And until today, I wasn't even sure what was going on, but now I understand. Fear zaps my faith. Fear drains my faith. Fear drains my confidence, my hope, my patience. Lord, touch everybody that just raised that hand. Bless them, Lord, in such a way that they'll understand, that they'll see, that they'll grasp that you came down, that we could be up. You saw that we could do nothing about our position. You saw that we could do nothing on our own, but then you came and took care of it for us. Maybe you're here today . This almost sounds like the last question, but it's not. You see the enemy trying very hard to confront you into a way to put you in a corner, to paint you into the corner of fear. You're fighting this fight. And at times you think you're winning, at times you think you're losing. And you just need God to bolster that faith over fear, that anxiety, that anxiousness. You want the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard your hearts and mind. If I'm speaking to you right now, nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor. I need that. Lord, touch them right now. Guard their hearts and minds. Lord, they're standing by faith, but fear is trying to take over. Lord, we love you and we praise your name and we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for all that you say. We thank you that your word is true. Above all, it's always true. And it will do what it said it will do. Because your word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Many people are fighting many battles now. Fear is a very powerful word that Satan is using constantly. Help us to cast aside that fear, that anxiety, and stand on that rock of faith. If you've got a need in your life, you've got something other than what we just talked about, you need God to touch you, or you just want to talk to God, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. We got a little time. Again, today's been kind of wild. I just kind of went out in left field, but that's okay. If nothing else, come to the altar and in your heart, make you a list of negatives and a list of positives and show that positives overcome those negatives, that you can make it, that you won't have to live by fear. Whatever your need is, come to this altar and pray right now. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray. God is awesome. God is awesome. God has this. God has this. God has this. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. God has this. Don't let fear drain your faith. In the name of Jesus, I love you. And I thank you, God, that you're always there for us. Every time, on time, all the time. In the name of Jesus. All that will, come and pray. All that will, come and pray. Praise God. Praise God, church. One thing that'll zap fear in its place, it'll zap fear right where it's at, is praising God. Okay. God is so good. All the time. Amen. Come back next week. Like I said, every now and then, the sermon goes someplace totally different from where you were trying to go with it. So I just believe that some people needed to hear that. Maybe I need to remind myself of it. I don't know. Sometimes we get going in the negatives, and the negatives take over in our life. Have you ever had a negative week? Amen. You ever had everybody come at you seem kind of negative? Even people you thought were positive wind up being negative? At the time, Linda told me, I told Linda, it ain't going to work. She says, yeah, well, I said, it's not going to work. And she said, you're always so positive. Why now? You're going to be negative. I said, okay, then I'll change the way I'm saying it. I'm positive it's not going to work. Amen. Y'all be, there's plenty of people to pray for. You can pray for Barbara, Sister Sylvia, for God to touch their legs and their feet and stuff. And pray for Bethany, for God to touch her body, because she just needs God to do something special in there. But the doctors are amazed. They said even though she has all this stuff going on in her, she has one of the best attitudes of anybody they've ever. And this is doctors. This is not even us. Doctors says one of the best attitudes they've ever seen with anybody to have this type of cancer. They're just amazed at how she is. And I just tell them, that's because y'all don't see her when she's not here. No, I don't. I say, she's like that everywhere. She's like, everywhere she goes, she tells her dad, like, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. She tells me all the time, you know, God's got this, Dad. Why are you worried? Don't worry. It's going to be fine. So, okay, Bethany. She's teaching me a whole different level of faith. I can tell you that. Amen. Yeah, because when I first heard the word cancer, fear, apistis, was overcoming my pistis. But watching Bethany, that A gets pushed out the window. Watching Bethany is just an amazing thing. Amen. So, and I know all of y'all were all amazing. I seen y'all come through some tough stuff over the years, and you just kept on coming. Amen. You know, there was a tribe of Indians that I wanted to be like this tribe of Indians. There was a tribe of Indians, true story. There was a tribe of Indians. There was people that were not, there were people that they had not had rain in quite some time, and they were trying to get some rain and didn't know what to do. And so they said, call this tribe of Indians. They're down here at this reservation. Said every time they dance, it rains. Said every time they dance, it rains. They said, well, how is that possible? He says, because they don't quit dancing until the rain lands. Some of us need to not quit dancing until we get the rain. Amen. Brother Steve,